The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
So it is my honour and privilege to stand before you today in this great city of Philadelphia, to proclaim them again, to join hands as we pick up that mantle of leadership once more, to renew our special relationship and to recommit ourselves to the responsibility of leadership in the modern world. And it is my honour and privilege to do so at this time, as dawn breaks on a new era of American renewal.
That's UK Prime Minister Theresa May speaking yesterday at a Republican retreat, I believe it was, in Philadelphia, as she said there. A time of American renewal. There's lots of optimism in the air in the United States, in Britain. You can find a few hard-hitting articles here and there. But for the most part, I mean, the special relationship is it's coming back. It's coming back. There's a headline in the USA Today piece. It says, how Donald Trump, Theresa May are the 2017 version of the 80s power couple, Reagan-Thatcher. That was in the USA Today. Just the other day, yesterday or the day before. And it talks about how that these two, they've made their vow to revive that kind of closeness. The closeness that the countries had during the Reagan-Thatcher years, during the 1980s. They've come together now, intent on renewing this relationship. A few more excerpts from her comments yesterday in Philadelphia, clip number 4.
So as we rediscover our confidence together, as you renew your nation just as we renew ours, we have the opportunity, indeed the responsibility, to renew the special relationship for this new age. We have the opportunity to lead together again.
Not only an opportunity to renew the relationship, but this is our chance. This is America's chance. This is Britain's chance to lead the world. We have a responsibility to do so, she said yesterday in Philadelphia. Carrying on, here is clip number 5.
So we, our two countries together, have a responsibility to lead. Because when others step up as we step back, it is bad for America, for Britain, and the world. It is in our interests, those of Britain and America together, to stand strong together, to defend our values, our interests, and the very ideas in which we believe.
Theresa May again speaking yesterday in Philadelphia. I mentioned that headline from USA Today, likening this to the 80s power couple, Reagan and Thatcher, and she didn't hesitate yesterday to bring up Reagan quite a few times. Here she is talking about Russia and how to handle Russia. Clip 6.
When it comes to Russia, as so often, it is wise to turn to the example of President Reagan, who during his negotiations with his opposite number, Mikhail Gorbachev, used to abide by the adage, trust but verify. With President Putin, my advice is to engage, but beware.
Engage, but beware. Follow that example of President Reagan. Again, she brought up President Reagan in this next clip and Margaret Thatcher, clip 7.
We should not jeopardize the freedoms that President Reagan and Mrs. Thatcher brought to Eastern Europe by accepting President Putin's claim that it is now in his sphere of influence.
And then one more. This is talking about a resurgence of this sleeping giant. This is clip 9.
as we renew the promise of our nations to make them stronger at home. In the words of President Reagan, as the sleeping giant stirs, so let us renew the relationship that can lead the world towards the promise of freedom and prosperity marked out in parchment by those ordinary citizens 240 years ago. So that we may not be counted with the cold and timid souls who know neither victory or defeat, but with those who strive to do the deeds that will lead us to a better world. That better future is within reach. Together, we can build it. Thank you.
That's Theresa May yesterday in Philadelphia, talking about the glorious history of the United States and Britain. She said earlier in the speech that, that these two were largely responsible for making the modern world. And she's right about that history. But she sees that we're in desperate need of a resurgence, a renewal. We've got to get back to what was once special. And we've got to take the lead in this world. Today, of course, she's going to be meeting with President Donald Trump in the Oval Office. She's the first foreign leader to visit the White House. She'll be the first one in there since the inauguration last week. And they are set on making this relationship special again. One conservative here in the UK, he's quoted in the USA Today as saying that there's a need to reinstate it or to renew it because of what's been happening in recent years. I mean, he was respectful about it, but he basically was saying President Obama was a disaster. That he went around forging relationships with everyone else, except Britain. And if you know some of that history, we wrote about a fair bit of it at thetrumpet.com. He came right into office in 2009. He removed the Winston Churchill bust that was on loan from the British Embassy. And he immediately started to downgrade that special relationship status. His aides were talking about it more as if it were just a mere partnership, not unlike the many other partnerships that America had with other nations. And over time, I mean, the British MPs were happy to respond in kind. They were saying, well, yeah, we should avoid using that terminology. This was just a few years ago. We should avoid using the term special relationship. And, of course, we need to be close to the United States, but there needs to be, I mean, it needs to be less deferential, the relationship. That's what the Commons Foreign Affairs Committee said back in 2010. And then along the way in his presidency, switching back to Mr. Obama, he talked about how great of an ally or friend France was back in 2011. More recently, toward the end of his presidency, he was raving about Germany, saying that Angela Merkel was his closest international partner. And all the while, as I say, this relationship with Britain, it was being reassessed and downgraded. There was one memo in 2015 that talked about the UK, this is a US memo, that talked about the UK not being viewed as centrally relevant to the United States. That was just 2 years ago. And then who can forget what led up to the Brexit vote? And President Obama saying that if you don't stay in Europe, you're going to go to the back of the queue. You're going to be right at the back of the line with respect to future trade deals. So you better stay in. You better stay in the Union. Well, there were quite a few leaders in Britain on both sides, even those that wanted to remain in the EU, that didn't appreciate what President Obama said. They didn't appreciate it at all. Well, you look at that history, and just like that conservative MP is quoted as saying in USA Today, I mean, we are in need of a renewal, because it's been pretty bad. And of course, it was prophesied to be so in these latter days. Throughout Mr. Obama's presidency, we often pointed you to this prophecy in Isaiah 9 and verse 21. And there's other prophecies like it that talk about the fighting, the bickering that goes on between these brother nations, Ephraim and Manasseh. Ephraim, it says Manasseh would devour Ephraim, and then Ephraim would devour Manasseh. And that's what's been happening over the last many years, particularly the last 8 years. This strong and durable alliance that had lasted for generations. It was being ripped apart. It was unraveling. But now we're seeing a renewal. That's what we're told. That's what the leaders themselves are saying. And so what are we to make of all this? President Trump, for example, congratulating Britain now for leaving the EU. And then pledging, as I covered on this program recently, pledging to help them out, to give them a favorable trade agreement. And then you have the UK Prime Minister making all those statements that I just played for you from yesterday. These two reaching out to each other and commentators talking about it as if it's just the 1980s all over again. As if we're heading back into the glory years of the 1980s when the United States was right at the apex of its power. And Britain was there with a strong show of support. Our two countries together. We have a joint responsibility to lead. We have a responsibility to lead. We made the modern world. And now there's lots of trouble in the world. And so we've got to step up. Well, where is this leading? What does your Bible have to say? And even in some of the programs that we've discussed or talked about this subject in recently, we've told you what's coming. What Jesus said there in Matthew 24, great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. You see, without God's supernatural intervention, we wouldn't survive it. It takes the mighty hand of God to save us from ourselves. And that's what your Bible says. That's what Christ prophesied. And you read the start of that chapter where the disciples came to him and said, what's going to happen in the last days? We are headed for trouble. That's what Jesus said then, and you can be sure he'd be saying it now. We are headed for trouble. In fact, it's called specifically Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah 30, verse 7. And Jacob, as I've played for you over the last week or week and a half, Jacob refers to the United States and Britain. That's the time period that we're heading into. All of this is laid out in such wonderful detail in the United States and Britain in prophecy. So many scriptures, so many Bible passages just spring to life as you study through that wonderful book. We are drawing near to the great tribulation, that time of trouble that immediately precedes the return of Christ to this earth, and that time of trouble more than anything else. It is trouble for the United States and Britain. It's the worst that our nations have ever faced. And you add to that the prophecy in Hosea 5 where it says that we're all going to fall together. We're all falling together. I mean, there's an implication even in that verse that we're going to be together. We're going to be together as we fall. Certainly that's the way our enemies are going to view us. They're all in the same boat. They're all part of the same problem, Ephraim, Manasseh, and Judah. And so they're all going to be brought down together. That's really where this latest version of the so-called special relationship is leading. That's where we're headed. This renewal, to whatever extent it is renewed, it's certainly not going to result. Sad to say, it's not going to result in the United States and Britain stepping up to lead the world again. Oh, she had the history right. I mean, those two were largely responsible for building the modern world. As she brought out, I mean, well, this was in one of the clips. We can play this for you, clip number two.
But the leadership provided by our two countries through the special relationship has done more than win wars and overcome adversity. It made the modern world.
It made the modern world. And she's right about that history. There was a glorious history. There is a glorious history. Directly connected to these two peoples, these two nations. And it goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. The reason for the prosperity, for the power, for the blessings. It goes all the way back to the very first book of the Bible. But now we're seeing all those blessings taken away. Curses have set in. And that's really underlying the message that you heard yesterday from the British Prime Minister. I mean, why is there such a desperate need for renewal? Why is there such a desperate need for the United States and Britain to step up? Well, what they're admitting by saying that is that the world is in bad shape right now. The world is in trouble. Europe is in trouble. The Middle East is in trouble. In fact, the United States and Britain, they're in the most trouble of all. All three of them fall together. So they're not going to rise up to lead the world again. Your Bible prophesies just the opposite. Now that same passage, Hosea 5, verse 5 is where it says they fall together. Then you keep reading. You keep reading through that chapter, verse 11 in particular. And again, I know I read this earlier on another broadcast. But it says there that Britain, or Ephraim is going to follow after the commandment of Jeroboam. They're going to follow after Jeroboam's lead. And as my father brought out in that November 23rd coworker letter, President Trump is an end-time type of Jeroboam. There's a Jeroboam presiding over the United States right now. Manasseh, biblical Manasseh. And poor Britain, that's what the Bible says. They're oppressed and broken in judgment. That's from verse 11 in Hosea 5. Poor Britain, oppressed and broken. They have no other choice but to follow after the sins of Jeroboam, to just go right after the sins of Jeroboam. That same USA Today article, well, this actually is a bit from that coworker letter. My father says, now that the United Kingdom has decided to break away from Europe, it will be desperate to trade with the U.S. That was my father basically laying it out there for what would transpire soon after the inauguration, and this is what's happened. They're desperate. They're desperate for trade with the U.S. Here's what one British commentator had to say in that USA Today article I mentioned earlier. It says, Theresa May has few friends because of her determination to push ahead with Brexit, Britain's withdrawal from the European Union, and Trump is also quite deliberately alienating the world with his America First talk. Again, there's lots of hoopla. There's lots of excitement, particularly for those that directly support these two leaders, Mr. Trump and Mrs. May. But step back and look at the world at large. There's not that many friends to go around for Britain and the United States. Not anymore. I mean, she may be scoring some points in Europe right now as the EU is coming to grips with the fact that they're losing one of the more prosperous nations in the Union. And then now, with all the rhetoric coming from Mr. Trump about NATO and about the European Union, there may be a short-term boost here and there. My father even brings that out in the coworker letter. But the fact is, these two historic friends, they need each other right now. There is a sense of desperation in this because the 70-year-strong post-World War II order is being shaken right at the core. And so you see the two coming together, saying we need this. Donald Trump says, I want the British Prime Minister to be the first visitor. And then she comes over here and has all those wonderful things to say, as she said yesterday. But it's just not going to work out the way that these two hope that it will work out. Certainly not before the Great Tribulation. There is hope farther down the road, but it's not going to work out. The Telegraph today had a piece, even with respect to the trade agreement that they're talking about. That's, of course, one of the big topics that they'll bring up in that discussion in the Oval Office. That, together with Russia and Putin and how to bring an end to the war in Syria, how to fight terrorism. But there's lots of optimism about the future of trade between these two nations. But notice what this Telegraph piece has to say about just the position that these nations are in. Even compared to what it was a few years ago, going back 10, 15, 20 years maybe, the Telegraph says, but Theresa May will be the first to arrive with a brand new foreign policy designed, it seems, especially for Donald Trump. Britain will never again, she says, seek to make the world in its own image. She said that yesterday in her speech in Philadelphia too. After talking about these two nations being responsible for the modern world, she made sure to point out that, hey, we need to renew this. It's special. We need to take the lead again. But we also want to point out here that we're not seeking to make the world in our own image. That wouldn't be appropriate. The Telegraph says here, the two nations that once set themselves against an axis of evil have now created an axis of inaction. That's quite a turnaround. Is this going to lead the world back to a prolonged period of prosperity and peace? The United States and Britain coming together and both of them declaring, we are not going to act. We're going to isolate ourselves. We're going to take care of our problems at home. If we reach out, it'll be primarily with that old ally, this special relationship. And then the Telegraph says later, the running down of the military over the last decade and more already meant that Britain could scarcely afford to attempt a military operation like that in Iraq. I mean, she talked about the disasters of these wars that Britain has gotten involved in over the past couple of decades. And the Telegraph points out, well, even if you wanted to get involved in another war, you couldn't. Because weakness has set in. Weakness has set in. How does the scripture put it? Oppressed and broken in judgment. Deuteronomy, Leviticus, those passages, blessings and cursings passages, talk about the pride of our power being broken, our strength being spent in vain. The Telegraph says here, the far smaller interventions in Libya also ended in disaster, which is partly why the House of Commons refused to let Mr. Cameron move on to Syria. You want to go into Syria now? Look at Libya. That was a disaster. It says, if Hillary Clinton had won the election seeking a military ally, then Mrs. May would have struggled to assure her that Britain had the muscle to continue a special relationship. I mean, what if it was a different president that was more proactive, that wanted to get more involved to solve the problems in Syria or wherever? What would Britain be able to provide in any way of support? As it happens, President Trump has said, we're through with that. Let Vladimir Putin take care of the Middle East. Let Europe fend for itself. Let's just get some good trade deals. Let's just make good trade deals. As if that will lead us to a new age of prosperity and power. It says in the New York Times, this is from this morning, it is possible that Prime Minister May, by throwing in her lot with Mr. Trump, could ride out any changes to the international order. But if that approach does not succeed, it could have severe consequences both for her nation and for the world that Britain plays a role in keeping together. I just thought it was interesting, the language used there in that piece, particularly given what my father said in that November coworker letter. Britain throwing her lot in with Mr. Trump, following after Jeroboam, both of them on the path to destruction. That's what the prophecies say. And look at what's happening in the world. Even as these two brothers, they are brothers, and their relationship has been special. But as they come together now in 2017, after so many years of defeat and decline, what are they going to be able to do with a world that's coming undone? And what about the rest of the world? That same Times article says, as American allies across Europe and Asia brace for President Trump, Britain stands out for the degree to which it is proceeding, as if little has changed. I mean, the rest of the continent, Europe, is freaking out. And Britain proceeds as if nothing really has changed. Well, this is great. This is the 1980s all over again. Mrs. May, it says, has sought to win over Mr. Trump, whom she will visit this week, just as her European counterparts are exploring more fundamental questions about American reliability. So there's rejoicing in the Oval Office today. But what are the rest of the leaders in Europe saying or doing or planning for? The Times says here, the British debate on Trump is over very trivial stuff, like who Trump spoke to before May. And the German debate is over the future of the liberal order in the West. That's what they're talking about in Berlin. In London, they're talking about more trivial things. I mentioned to you that interview that President Trump had the other night. I guess it was Wednesday night. And we played a clip or two from that yesterday. But it's astounding. You read through the transcript of that. Half of it, here is a mainstream journalist and the president of the United States, and half of the transcript is about how big of a crowd you got on the inauguration and how whether you did or did not win the popular vote, depending upon how many illegals voted. And just back and forth and back and forth. Who's more popular than whom? And meanwhile, the world is burning. It says here, Frank Walter Steinmeier, the German foreign minister, wrote a column this week for the German paper Bild about Trump's election. The old world of the 20th century is gone. It's not the 1980s anymore. He said Germany's going to have to confront drastic changes. The French president, just last month, he said that Trump's election opens up a period of uncertainty. British leaders, Mr. Leonard said, have not accepted the view, growing in other European governments, that our prosperity and security are based on an international architecture that's now being threatened. There's lots of concern and worry and action, alternative action taking place in Europe. But they're not so concerned, not as much, in Britain. Much more trivial things to talk about for these two nations. Carl Theodor zu Guttenberg, he says we're facing a turning point. And he says Germany should play a lead role in reforming NATO. Germany should step up. He's saying the unpredictable is happening. There's another piece, I forget which, it's from The Bild as well, talking about a looming political comeback. Is Gutenberg coming back? Is a big political comeback from Carl Theodor zu Guttenberg ahead of us? That's in a German publication today. And so all these other areas of the world, dramatic changes taking shape as the leaders of Ephraim and Manasseh carry on as if, well, it's just as great as it's ever been. And now it's just going to get better. Reuters, it says here, as Trump stresses America first, China plays the world leader. China is calmly mapping out global leadership aspirations from trade to climate change, drawing distinctions between President Xi's steady hand and the new U.S. President, Donald Trump, whose first days have been marked by media feuds and protests. Yes, media feuds, arguing with the media. Who had the bigger crowd size, Obama or Trump? Who won the popular vote, Trump or Clinton? Who lied about what? That's the back and forth. I mean, the media is just consumed with this because, well, they want to bring him down. And he seems pretty well obsessed with going after them as enemy number one as well. And to be sure, there's a lot to go after there, but still. As the feuding and the protesting continues, well, China, like other nations, Russia, they're out there mapping out global leadership aspirations. They're doing it in China. They're doing it in Iran. They're doing it in Russia. And you can be sure they're doing it in Germany as well. It says here, you have your America first. We have our community of common destiny for mankind. That's quoting a Chinese military figure. China, as so many have written over the years, they take a long-term view of these events. America first? Okay. Well, this is what we put first on the list. You have a closed country? It quotes this general here, or this military figure. You have a closed country? We have one belt, one road. That's referring to the multi-billion dollar Silk Road, the trade and investment program. Reuters says, and while China has repeatedly said it does not want the traditional U.S. role of world leadership, a senior Chinese diplomat accepted this week it could be forced upon China. Well, we would argue whether or not they really do want it. They do want to rule the world, and so does Russia. But because there's so much weakness in Ephraim and Manasseh, well, this article talks about China stepping it up at that Davos summit. Reuters says here, if anyone were to say China is playing a leadership role in the world, I would say it's not China rushing to the front, but rather the front runners have stepped back, leaving the place to China. That's quoting the Director General of the Chinese Foreign Ministry. It's not so much that all these other nations are racing in front of us because we're in an all-out sprint. We are the front runners who have taken massive steps backward. And so it's very different in 2017 than it was in 1983 or 1985. And so the words sound good. It's easy. I mean, I'm an American living in Britain. And you hear the speech and you want to cheer. We talked about it in an editorial meeting yesterday. You hear the statements, you hear the sentiments, and you want to stand up and say, hooray, yes, let's get back to that. That was so much better. But Jacob's trouble is coming. That's the reality. That's what we have to prepare for. That's what we have to open our eyes to see. Just like that quote from the U.S. and Britain that I read yesterday. We have to open our eyes. We have to wake up and accept the fact that great nations fall. It happened to Babylon in Daniel 5. It happened to the British Empire. It says here, going back to this, this New York Times piece, since Britain's decline from a global power in the years just after World War II, the country's foreign policy has rested on two pillars. Okay, so they lost the empire. World War II ended, but it was a relatively smooth transition from one world power to the next because of this special relationship. This alliance between Ephraim and Manasseh. These are the two pillars that Britain's stability rested on. First is the American-British partnership, which allows Britain to project its power and safeguard its interests globally. Second is European unity, which is essential for Britain's economic prosperity. And by removing the centuries-old diversions of European conflict, it frees up Britain to act on the world stage. And so we had this prolonged period of peace and prosperity. This European Union, just mostly, I mean, early on, just an economic union. Everyone benefited and everyone was protected because you had the U.S. presiding over security needs. But then we come to the end of the 1980s, more specifically, and I'll get into this later, but the significance of 1986. But then moving on from that, to when the wall came down in 89 and coming into the period of no more delay. What a different world 2017 is when compared to 1989 or 1986 or 1983. The New York Times says here, but both of those pillars could now be crumbling under the strain of European populism, Russian resurgence, and particularly Mr. Trump's threats to step away from Europe. And so, well, that is the one thing that the Brits are in agreement with. Respecting those leaders in Europe, I mean. They want the United States to continue to be that security umbrella. But if Mr. Trump, if he follows through on the threats, if he steps away from Europe, there's nothing about a so-called special relationship for trade that's going to maintain stability in this new world order. The New York Times says if America eases up on Russia, Britain will be under heavy pressure to pick the United States not to side with Merkel. And here again, go back to Hosea 5 and verse 11. It says Britain follows after the Jeroboam. It follows Jeroboam's lead. And here are these articles talking about the heavy pressure that Britain is in to just go along with the United States. Here are these articles coming out today and yesterday talking about Britain just throwing its lot in with the Trump administration. Heavy pressure. It says, finally, Mrs. May is increasingly focused on maintaining the alliance with the United States, the world's largest economy and military power. And so, well, it seems logical. It's the world superpower, so we've got to join together with them. Or follow along after Jeroboam. Sadly, though, it's not going to fix the problems of this world. It's not going to even fix the problems that we have in our own nations. It's not the 1980s, as I've been saying. We're living in a new age. We're living in the Jeroboam end, as my father said in that November 23 coworker letter. He said this election was prophetic. That's what he said, referring to the election of Donald Trump. He said it's prophetic. When there's a type of Jeroboam on the scene, then God will send the sword upon his people because of all its sins. See, when that type of Jeroboam shows up, then know that the sword is coming. We read Amos 7 previously on another program about how God's making one final pass. That's it. This is the last chance. We are living through earth-shaking prophecies, and it's going to lead us, our peoples, our nations, right into the time of Jacob's trouble. Right into that time of national punishment for our sins. You can see it if your eyes are open. I mean, if you're watching, as Jesus said, watch and pray. You can see it. You can see where it's leading. And of course, if you're a student of Bible prophecy, you also see beyond the horizon. You see that there is hope. Jesus even referred to that in that section about the Great Tribulation, where he said, God will intervene for the elect's sake. But before that, lots of darkness. Joel Hilliker wrote for our website almost five years ago, speaking of our two nations, the United States and Britain, he said, darkness is descending on the long, historically extraordinary Anglo-American age. Britain, once a globe-girding empire, is now being bullied by a growing European superstate. America, once the greatest superpower on earth, is economically battered and is losing its global influence. He says, history teaches that world orders don't last. They don't last. That's the lesson of history. We saw that yesterday when going through Daniel 5. Belshazzar thought everything was great. I mean, the empire was as strong and as powerful and as well fortified as ever before. And he didn't even make it through to the end of that day of feasting, when he saw the hand writing on a wall. That's a lesson of history. And it's also referred to again and again in Bible prophecy. World orders come and go, Mr. Hilliker wrote. This present one is giving way to something very different, and it truly will be the world's loss. It is the world's loss. Miss May said yesterday, I mean, we are responsible for building the modern world. All of this prosperity and peace since the end of World War II, relatively speaking. And now there's a new world order. This present one is giving way to something very different, and it truly will be the world's loss. However, Britain and America's brightest days are not history. Glowing within their remarkable past is the promise of a far more luminous future. I mean, there are great days ahead for our nations. They're just not coming in the immediate future. That time period before the tribulation, I mean. But beyond that, well, you look into the book of Jeremiah, he's the one in chapter 30 that prophesied of Jacob's trouble for the latter days. That period of great tribulation. But beyond that, He did speak of a time when America and Britain would be restored to their former glory and power and influence and might. He said in Jeremiah 33 and verse 9 that our peoples would be a praise and an honor before all nations of the earth. But before all of that, we've got to come to grips with the devastation and the suffering. It's going to be unlike any time in history. And the devastation is going to be so bad that unless God intervened, there would be no hope for humanity. But we can thank God that He will intervene. And because of that, there is hope. There is hope for a better tomorrow. But you're not going to find it anywhere else except within the pages of the Holy Bible. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We're coming right up to the weekend, so don't forget about your weekend assignment. We've gotten some excellent emails over the course of this past week, so send us a note, if you will, this weekend. You can send those comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily Radio Show airs every morning at 7 a.m. Central Time on KPCG 101.3 FM in Edmond, Oklahoma.
I'll just conclude today with a few emails coming in from you listeners. This one here comes from Down Under, Sydney, Australia. And she writes that she hasn't written before but wanted to send in a thank you. She says here, as a homeschooling mother, I obviously have to meet the state education regulations in Australia, but I do get some leeway with sourcing resources for some of our subjects. I found KPCG radio programs immeasurably inspiring, and along with many PCG literature pieces, used them to round up my children's education in various subjects, especially for my older teenagers. History, geography, world events, Bible prophecy knowledge are all touched on throughout Watch Jerusalem, Trumpet Daily, Trumpet Weekly, The Key of David. One of my sons, who has a passion for music, uses Music for Life as part of his daily music studies. And my oldest daughter uses Best of Literature as part of her reading program. We're often inspired to dig deeper to enrich our knowledge further after a show, and we all chat about the shows together. Even my four-year-old will quote and ask questions from listening. We're also using some of the classes offered through online through Herbert W. Armstrong College as part of our older children's English curriculum. Well, she talks about some of the benefits of the classes and then later says, watching world events day by day and having the opportunity of hearing it in line with God's revealed prophecy is a core part of our day. Even after school time, we often have a KPCG show playing as we get on with our day-to-day chores and activities in the home. And my husband enjoys listening to KPCG on his commute to and from work. So that's a comment that came in from Sydney, Australia. Some strong support there from the entire family. This one here comes from one of our truck drivers in the U.S. He says, I'm another one of your TD-ing TD-ers. And then in parentheses, it says, truck driving Trumpet Dailier. Just wanted to say thanks for your efforts to provide this most important message the world can receive. I have noticed more and more often other news sources report from a perspective that you have given. I fully expect that someday the Trumpet Daily will be mentioned in reference, as some reporting seems to come directly from your material. From time to time, I do pray that the work will have that type of exposure that would draw the world's attention to this great work. It says, I too am very blessed to listen to the TD each day while driving. One other one here. This one says, I want to thank you all, the KPCG staff, those working in front of the mic and behind the scenes. I get so much out of each program. I go to kpcg.fm and download the programs onto my Kindle, so if I'm not at home, I can listen in my car. I have listened to almost every one of the Trumpet Daily programs. That's incredible. I love how many have we produced? I think it's over 400. Well over 400. It says, I love hearing about your outings with your family and the college students there at Edstone. Since hearing about your experiences at the opera, my daughter and I have wanted to go to one, but I haven't found one that we can get to yet. These are some exciting times that we're living in, and I can't wait to see what this year brings. I'll be waiting with anticipation to hear every TD. And she says here at the end, this is from Plainview, Texas, by the way, but she says here at the end, my 7-year-old daughter likes listening as well. We read that comment the other day from the 10-year-old, you'll recall. But here's the message coming in now from the 7-year-old. This is a 7-year-old gal. And she says, my favorite part of your show is right now. She got right now in big letters, all capitals. That's, of course, from our announcer, our Londoner, who helps with some of the narration on our programs, TV programs as well. She says here, I also like listening to the opera that you've played. We listen to it as we're cleaning and cooking. I also like The Sun Also Rises, Live by Every Word, and the Watch Jerusalem programs. So some good feedback there from a little 7-year-old. Another response, it says here, this comes from Australia as well. I really find your broadcasts of great value. The media here in Australia are as PC contaminated as anywhere else, and I increasingly get my news from you and other internet sources. Lies and half-truths are regularly promulgated, and we desperately, now more than ever, need truthful reporting. Another one here from a woman in Texas says, keep up the great job with the Trumpet Daily. I'm a daily listener and appreciate the real, not fake news, and God's perspective on world events. This one here comes in from the state of North Carolina. They're on the east coast of the United States. It says, Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. I look forward to the time when those evil moods and attitudes of anger and hatred are replaced with the broadcasting of God's word of peace, understanding, and accomplishment between nations and people through radio stations like KPCG. One other one here, this one is from a while back. It says, it's not just some platitudinal phrase to say, thy law is truth. That's citing Psalm 119. As the law is that which makes all things work as a truth. And if the law is violated, things stop working. Isn't that true? So yes, God's law is truth. It's actually very scientific. And although it's a very obvious point, it should be so much more profoundly real to us while putting man-made platitudes to shame. It says later, lawlessness is composed of many lies, and upon lies, lawlessness does depend. So the post-truth world is gripped by uncertainty because it is gripped by lies and the father of them. But we who do have a very certain view of this world from the true words of Bible prophecy, see this as a pre-truth world, as the truth never has been in it. This whole world being deceived from the very beginning. Of course, referencing there what happened in the Garden of Eden when man was cut off from God's truth. Everyone except for a few that have had their minds open to the truth now, in preparation for when God brings his truth to all of mankind, at the return of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We're putting the finishing touches here on another week of broadcasting on KPCG.fm. Send us an email this weekend. Don't forget, td@kpcg.fm. Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you next week.